This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice, featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today on the program, once again, we have Jack Towarnicki, an ERISA employee benefits compliance and planning attorney having over 40 years of experience in human resources and plan sponsor leadership roles. And Mr. Towarnicki, thanks for joining us once again here on eHealth Radio.
Thank you.
Hey, you bet. Our pleasure. Good to have you back. So to kick things off here today, Americans are anxious over what's next in terms of increases in the cost of medical coverage and their out-of-pocket expenses and how they will add to the existing financial stress from recent inflation and the decline in economic activity in the first half of this year. What is your outlook in these regards? Let's kick things off with that today.
Sure. So thanks again for having me today. Data show that Americans are now carrying unprecedented amounts of consumer debt, that household balance sheets are worsening quickly. We're up to about $16 trillion. That's $2 trillion higher than at the end of 2019 before the pandemic. So Americans have good cause to be concerned. Inflation, as estimated by the Consumer Price Index, remained near 9% in July of 2022, despite significant declines in the price of gasoline. And yes, inflation is a global issue. Just yesterday, England reported an inflation rate of 12.7% in July. The U.S. economy is slowing. The first half of 2022 saw declines in U.S. gross domestic product in both calendar quarters. And other economies are slowing as well. The World Bank's June Global Economic Prospects Report confirms today's economic climate resembles the 1970s in a number of key aspects. At the same time, jobs remain plentiful. There's twice as many openings in the U.S. as there are individuals receiving unemployment benefits. Increasingly, there seems to be a mismatch of jobs and available workers, either in terms of skills or locations or both. And finally, we're now, just now, headed into the period for renewals and preparation for annual enrollment for those employer-sponsored plans that operate on a calendar year basis. A lot of predictions around about double-digit increases in the cost of medical coverage. And while Americans' out-of-pocket costs have continued to increase in nominal dollar terms, you know, the total dollars that you spend, Americans actually continue to shoulder only a small percentage of medical costs out-of-pocket. That is, on average, and averages can be deceiving, Americans pay out-of-pocket only about 10% of the cost of all medical services received. So while the percentage remains mostly unchanged because the cost of medical services keeps increasing, workers must allocate an ever-increasing percentage of their take-home pay to cover their contributions towards the cost of coverage and their out-of-pocket costs.
Really appreciate the thorough response there. That is most helpful and a great place to kick things off here today as well. Now, there isn't widespread agreement about whether we are in a recession or not. Regardless, how will the recent decline in economic activity be different this time?
Well, typically, reductions in employment are a lagging factor once a recession starts. And we're kind of early on in this cycle, if this is a recession, and we have yet to see a reduction in employment and an increase in unemployment. But maybe one of the reason for the difference is likely the low level of labor force participation. Even though we added over 500,000 jobs in July of 2022, according to the Labor Department, America still saw the labor force participation rate decline, actually go down. It's now just over 62% of American adults. And that's 5% below the 21st century peak, meaning that somewhere around 3 million or so fewer people are in the labor force today.
Now, Mr. Towarnicki, here's another thought. Most American workers would be surprised to find out that they pay more for other people's subsidized health coverage than for their own. Who pays and how much more are taxpayers going to pay into this?
Yeah, over a decade ago, I first became aware of this fact that as a participant in my employer-sponsored plan, the cost that I was paying in terms of the impact on my take-home pay for single coverage was less than what I was paying for Medicare and Medicaid and now the taxpayer-subsidized coverage in the public exchange. It's about 13 million out of the 14 million folks in the public exchange who get taxpayer-subsidized coverage. Once you add it all up, and once you adjust for differences in the tax preferences, it's clear that most American workers pay more for other people's coverage through income taxes and what shows up on your pay advice is FICA Med, F-I-C-A-M-E-D, than they pay for their own employer-sponsored coverage. If you'd like to see an updated version of that comparison, you can go to our website, Aequum Health, AequumHealth.com. It's in a blog basically titled, Thanks for Subsidizing Other People's Health Coverage.
And that certainly sounds like another great resource to tap into as well. And thanks for that today. We're speaking with Mr. Jack Towarnicki once again, an ERISA employee benefits compliance and planning attorney having over 40 years of experience in human resources and plan sponsor leadership roles here on eHealth Radio's Health News and Health Insurance Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, another question for you. What is the expected impact of current inflation and economic trends on employer-sponsored coverage?
Again, you know, we're just now headed into the period for renewals and preparation for annual enrollment for those employer-sponsored plans that operate on a calendar year basis. We're seeing a number of predictions of double-digit increases in the cost of medical coverage. It's becoming more prevalent. And while there's always exceptions, most employers really aren't expected to reduce the percentage of the cost of coverage that workers fund with their contributions. So if you have employer-sponsored coverage, you should expect to see the cost in dollar terms of coverage increase in 2023, your contributions increase in 2023. It's also unclear how employers will respond. In the past, employers often responded by changing the third-party administrator, changing the network of providers, changing their plan design, sometimes increasing cost sharing in terms of deductibles, co-payments, co-insurance, and any other out-of-pocket expenses. But given the trends in employment and the difficulty a lot of employers are having in filling their openings, despite the slowing of the economy, I don't think you're going to see a lot of increases in deductibles and co-payments and stuff like that in 2023.
Yeah, certainly appreciate your feedback in those regards. Once again, most helpful. Now, how should employers and employees be thinking about health plan renewals for the upcoming year 2023, and what action should they be taking now? In other words, what should they be doing right now today?
Well, my experience, and again, I've been at this for a long time, is that most employers who offer healthcare coverage, they haven't strategically reevaluated their health coverage, their strategy, after health reform, which was signed by President Obama way back on March 23rd, 2010. So they really haven't reevaluated their health coverage strategy after health reform, let alone post-pandemic. So this is probably a good time for employers to reevaluate their corporate coverage strategy. Among other things, employers should start by taking credit for past employer financial support for this coverage. Every employer doesn't offer healthcare coverage. Then, when considering the future, you probably, if you're the employer, you probably shouldn't limit your strategy solely to 2023, but instead focus on maybe the next 5 to 10 years. Now's a good time to confirm your strategy and your commitment to continuing to sponsor employer-sponsored coverage. Maybe just as important, employer plan designs might encourage workers themselves to prepare for the future, not just for 2023, but also for years after 2023. And maybe the best option for changing that focus from just next year to the future might be to introduce or reintroduce health savings account capable coverage.
Mr. Towarnicki, always great to have you with us. Thanks for the insight and all the great information to help us prepare for 2023. As we conclude, what can employers and employees do about the looming increase in medical costs for 2023? Let's conclude with some information on that. What's your take on that?
Well, my experience is that most American workers with employer-sponsored coverage are overinsured. If you look at the data, the national data, compiled by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the Department of Health and Human Services, the average medical spend for each American exceeds $12,000 a year. But you know, averages can be deceiving. When you drill down into the data, you find that much of that spend is among Americans covered by Medicare, those over age 65, and folks who are disabled. The Kaiser Family Foundation recently took a look at this data, the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey. The most recent year that they had detail on was 2019. And what they wanted to see was how were medical expenses allocated across the entire population of Americans. And here's what they found. They found that 5% of the population accounted for almost half of all health spending, where the top 1% had average spending of over $130,000 a year. And then you take the other side of this. For comparison, the 50%, the lower half of all Americans at the median or below, they only spent 3% of the total. They averaged $374 per person. Now that's half of all Americans. And 14% of Americans had no health spending in 2019. So maybe 2023 is the year for workers and their employers to consider saving some money up, if only to prepare for the day when those individuals who aren't spending much today will be older and much more likely to incur medical expenses.
Well, this conversation certainly points to the fact that we need to be planning ahead, and I can't thank you enough for all the great information shared here today. Hit that website once again where listeners can get more information per the conversation and that other additional resource you mentioned, and Aquium Health. That would be great.
Sure. It's aquiumhealth.com, AequiumHealth.com.
And of course, as always, we'll leave that link within the show notes of this broadcast to aid the audience. Again, Mr. Towarnicki, all the best, and look forward to our next conversation right here on eHealth Radio. Thanks so much.
Thank you again.
Again, we've been speaking with Mr. Jack Towarnicki, an ERISA employee benefits compliance and planning attorney, having over 40 years of experience in human resources and plan sponsor leadership roles. And once again, for further details, visit AequiumHealth.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.